Well, I want to say I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I want to say this also. I'm glad we're in a church where the altar's open. Many churches you go and preach at, they look like they hadn't used the altar in years. And I can tell you that if a church is not using their altar, there's not anything going on in the church. But I'm glad today that God has given us a place here. And I'm glad He's put us in the family of God. And I'm glad He saved me. Not only did He save me, He sealed me. And I'm glad the morning that I'm here and God is doing mighty things. When they sang that song, I want to tell those girls this. I watched a lot of those girls raise up from little bitty babies. Parents, you never know what you're instilling in your kids at an early age. And I want to tell those girls this morning and all the boys this. I'm proud of them this morning. I'm glad they're still serving God. I'm glad there's still some young people that want to serve God and want to see the glory of God fall down on the church. And I'm glad to be here this morning. If you got your Bible this morning, find the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1 in the book of Luke. If you find it, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're there, not there, say oh me. No. Book of Luke, chapter 15, verse number 1. It said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I want to stop right there and put pause for 1 second. Everybody in the building ought to shout that he stopped and he would sit with the publicans and the sinners, because I can tell you one thing, you can find yourself in that verse. I found myself in that verse, being the sinner. Thank God that he set take time out for a little sinner. Verse 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." Verse 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I'm interested today in verse number 4 where it says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and grace, Lord. Lord, I have no ability this morning, Lord. Lord, and I'm even inadequate, Lord, to even do this, Lord. I need thy help, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help somebody this morning, Lord. We thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I struggled with a title for this message. And on the way to church this morning, he gave me this. The you that he rescued. The you that he rescued. And you can spell that either way you want to. You can spell it as Y-O-U, or you can spell it as E-W-E for a little sheep. But I'm going to say this. God was on a rescue mission. And you'll find in our text that he would leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which was lost. And let me say this. Jesus going to Calvary was not plan B. It was not an accident. Let me say this. It was a rescue mission. But see, Jesus was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. But I want to tell you this. He looked through the portals of time and he saw you and me. And he said, Father, I'll go. And I'm glad today that I stand here rescued by the one who hung on the cross of Calvary. The one who gave his life not for just my sins, but he gave his life for the sins of the world this morning. I'm glad tonight this morning that there was a rescue mission. You see, why are you getting so excited? Because I know who the shepherd is in this story. I also know I'm just a harmless unworthless little sheep that God just wanting God to use. That's all I want this morning. Let me say this. Jesus is our shepherd. In John 10, it said that he was the good shepherd. It said this in John 10 and verse number 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. He went on to say this in verse 14. He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and a known of mine. He is not only the shepherd, he's the good shepherd. But Peter would describe him as the chief shepherd. He said, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he will give a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'm glad for my shepherd. You see, there's not much about me, but if I could do anything this morning, what I'd love to do is introduce you to my shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm glad we have a shepherd. See, sheep, they have to be led. They're not just any old. If you study about sheep, and I try to do as much study as I could about find out about sheep, I don't know much about sheep without studying. I don't know if we got any sheep farmers in here, but hopefully I'll fall in line with them, what they would say. But the sheep is a defenseless little creature that God created. Of all the animals that God could have said his church was going to be like, he chose us to be called sheep. Sheep. You see, sheep, they're not always the smartest animal that God could create. I could see a deer. God gives them all those antlers and all their glory, and they know how to escape and they know how to get away from trouble. Or they see that bass out in the lake. You throw that fishing lure in there time after time, and they get smarter and smarter and won't bite. But a sheep, you know what? They don't have any of those instincts. They don't have much of that. And God has designed this thing. You know why? Because you have reliance on the shepherd when you got nothing else. It takes into account what the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. And the older I get, I didn't understand that at an early age, but the older I get, the more that verse pops up into my mind. Without me, you can do nothing. I've got four quick things, and I won't be long, that I want to bring out about my shepherd this morning and about these sheep. And I know a lot of you said, well, a preacher said he won't be long. He won't be long. I won't be long this morning. But I want to give you four quick things about my shepherd and the ewe that he rescued. I want to say, first of all, you'll see that the shepherd's way is always leading. It's always leading. You see, I've never seen this until here recently. If you look in verse 4, he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? And I said, Lord, I've never had seen that the shepherd left the sheep in the wilderness. You see, the wilderness is not the place for the sheep. If you had to find out where the shepherd would typically take the sheep, he would take them to a pasture, wouldn't he? And not only just any old pasture, wouldn't he? He would take him to a green pasture. He would take him to the best pasture. He would take it to where that sheep would get the best nutrients. He would get the best care. He would get the best. He'd have the best protection. But I noticed in this story that he finds himself in the wilderness. And I want to say this. I can witness to you today. You may be in this world and you're probably in a wilderness. As you look around you and you go down to Walmart, guess what? It's wilderness. Oh, I forgot y'all was in Bowden, the Dollar General. It's a wilderness. You see things going on that ought not be. It's a wilderness. And no doubt this shepherd, it wasn't a shepherd. He was leading them where to go. And a lot of times we have to trust the way that the master or the shepherd is leading us. But see, he's always a God that leads. Leads. If you'll turn over to John chapter number 10 right quick. I want to read a few verses there found in John 10 and verse number 1. John 10 and verse number 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. And here it is, verse 9 said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And look at this, he shall go in and out and find pasture. I'm here to tell you today that God's got a pasture, and your pasture may not look like it ought, like you think it ought to. You see, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Some of you today, you're down on your job, and you're wondering if you can find pasture. I want to say this, you can find pasture down at your job. I want to say this, you can find pasture down here at this church. You can find pasture in your family, between your husband and a wife, and between a father and a son, between a mother and a daughter. Guess what? You can find pasture if you'll just look around and see the shepherd. You see, I noticed this a lot of times in my own life. Sometimes the way seems dark. Sometimes the way seems cold. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust in the way that the shepherd is leading, because the shepherd always knows best. I've got a dog that was given. I had an English bulldog for years, and she got old and passed away, and now I've got a new dog, and she's a poodle. And I ain't never know nothing about no poodle. But I noticed this about her, you know, and she look, if you ask me, she looks like a little lamb if you were to see her right now, where her fur is all cut up and all that. But I noticed this about her. She always, if I let her outside, you know, talking about, if I let her outside, the first thing she used to do is go straight toward the road. And see that little dog didn't know there was danger in the road. And I tell you what we did. We said, we'll buy her one of those little shock collars. And when she gets close to it, I'll hit it, you know, and I'll try to train that dog. So, because, you know, the master always knows best, don't he? But she went out there and I watched it. I said, boom. You should have seen that dog. She jumped off the ground. She didn't know what had happened. She thought the Holy Ghost done struck her down. But I noticed this, that dog wouldn't come to me anymore because I done shocked it. But I'm going to tell you about my shepherd this morning. When I've done wrong, and I've been in dark places and I didn't know which way to go, that shepherd didn't hit my shock collar. You know what he did? He ran and kissed me and he hugged me. And if I learned anything with that dog, talking about the way that he would lead, that dog never, she didn't know anything about the road. She was just a puppy. And here I am shocking her. But I said all that to say this, thank God I got a shepherd. When he should have killed me, when he should have kicked me, when he should have done me wrong, when I didn't understand the way that he was leading me. And there was dark times, and I didn't know where to trust. But I learned that I could trust in him this morning. I'm glad he's leading us in the way this morning. And we can trust his way, not our ways, but his way. But he said this. I said all that to say this. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I've noticed this about pastures also. I've got a pasture behind my house, and we rent it out to a guy. And he keeps it up. But I noticed in the wintertime, the pasture is not always as pretty. But I did notice this. It always is enough. God's got you in a pasture, and sometimes it may not always look pretty. But I'll tell you this, it'll always be enough. God's got little things that he'll do for you, little things he'll gift you, little things that he'll do. And let me say this, he'll put you in a pasture. Stay in your pasture. Even though the waves are high, the storm may be rising up. You may not know which way to go. You may not know which way to turn. But let me tell you this, the master or the shepherd, he knows the way. You'll see, the shepherd's way is ever leading. Not only that, secondly, I'll say this, the shepherd's watch is ever looking. You see, the sheep may not care much about the shepherd, but the shepherd always has his eye on the sheep. You say, how do you know that? If you'll notice in our text in verse number 4, what did he say? He said if he had 100 sheep. I noticed this, that anybody that's got any livestock, one of the first things they can tell you is how many they got. If I asked Brother Mark in here and I said, how many cattle do you have? I guarantee you he can tell me exactly the number. You know why?
Yes.
He's got his eye on them.
Right.
I used to help the people across the road from me. They do livestock. And one of the, every day, I used to try to go over and help them, and they'd show me how to do things. But I guarantee you, every day what we did, we'd ride through that pasture, or we'd walk, and we'd count those cows. Let me tell you what the shepherd does. He knew he had 100 to start with.
Yes.
He knew when he counted them, and he looked at it, and he said there was only a 9 in 9. Let me say this, you may slumber and you may sleep. But I'm going to tell you what, your mom and daddy may slumber and sleep. Your pastor and your preacher and even me, we may slumber and sleep. But I'm going to tell you what, I've got a shepherd this morning. He's always got his eyes open. He always knows where his sheep is. He always knows what's best for his sheep. You see, his watch is ever looking. You say, why? I want to say this. If you're a sheep, we were talking about earlier, they say there's a such thing as a calf sheep. And a calf sheep is one of those sheep, as they get older or get more feeble, or even if they get bigger, like me, get bigger, and they fall down, a calf sheep can't always get up. And they need the help of the shepherd to even get up. I said all that so that you may be thinking you have no hope this morning. You may be thinking, I can't go any further, and life's got me like this, and I can't get out. And you think that you can't even move or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you this, we've got a shepherd this morning who's always got his watch. And you may be in trouble this morning, but I'm here to tell you, I've got a shepherd that's here to rescue you. He's here to get you out of trouble, because he's a shepherd that's ever looking. I was reading about the sheep, and I said, what's the biggest predators of a sheep? And it's, you know what it is? It's dogs. It's wolves. It's coyotes. I want to say this to all you people. Don't think it's strange that you have a predator this morning. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it said, be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, as the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. And I began to read about those sheep. I said, which one does he go after? Who's exempt from this? You see, because I'd want to be the one that's exempt. I don't want nobody after me. I don't want to have to live my life looking over my shoulder. I got enough problems as it is. But I'm here to tell you, there's no one exempt. There's no sheep even exempt from that. I looked at it. I said, and God, but the Holy Ghost began to pin some stuff down for me. He said, what sheep does he go after? I want to say he goes after the weak ones. He goes after those that should be on the meat of the word, but they're on the milk of the word. I want to encourage you to get in your Bible and study. There's more things in here that God can speak to you in a minute than I can say in 45 minutes to an hour if you just open it up and get in one verse. He's after those that are weak. Then he gave me this. He said he was after the ones that are wounded, those that have been injured along the way, those that may have a leg that got, maybe a dog got a hold of, or a coyote, and they're no longer as fast as they used to be. The devil's after those that are wounded. Be careful with the wounds in the house of God. The devil will use those against you a lot of times, and he'll say they don't love you, they don't care, and a lot of times the devil's a liar. But he'll use those things to show you that you're wounded. You may have been shot out. You may have done that. But I'm here to tell you, I've got a shepherd this morning. He knows how to heal wounds. He's after the weak. He's after the wounded. I want to say this. He's after the weary. Those that have got tired in the way. Those that have done so much. And let me say this. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. I'm glad this morning, that God, we got a shepherd that says, come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Not only is he after the weak, he's after the wounded. He's after the weary. I want to say this, he's after those that wander. I was reading about that sheep, and I didn't know this. It said cattle were easier to fence in than a sheep was. You know why? It says sheep was prone to wander. And let me say this, and I'm speaking for me as much as I am anybody this morning, is I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love And if we're not careful, we'll get out of the fence of the shepherd, get outside of his bounds. But let me say this, you may think you've lost the shepherd. But I'm here to tell you, he's got his eyes on you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows where to get you back up. And we're fixing to look at it in just a minute. But I'm glad he's got a watch that's ever looking. Not only that, I wrote this down. I'll hit it and I won't stay there long. If the devil won't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And that's where we find ourselves in today's world, is everybody's so busy. But I'm glad we got a God that doesn't quit watching. If you look down again, look in go back to verse number 4 in our text in Luke chapter number 4. It says this in verse 4. It says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" It didn't say he quit looking. You see, some of you've got children that have went wayward. They may be way out there, but let me say this, the shepherd's never taking his eyes off them. You see, it said until he find it. That lets me know that one day he's going to find it. And I want to say this, I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I was 19, almost 20 years old when I got saved. God had given, my mama always took us to church. And I can remember the first time the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about being saved. And I didn't get saved on my first attempt. I didn't get saved on my second time he spoke to me. But later on in life, when I got about 19, 20 years old, the Holy Ghost got me. Well, I said all that to say this, don't give up. God's got something out there. You may have parents that are out there that are not saved. Some of you younger folks, guess what? Just keep praying. I was thinking about this the other day, the first church where I got saved at, there was a young boy there, and if I called his name, Brother Miss Lanessa, I know she would know him, but we would pray for this young man. He said, "I want you guys to pray for my granddaddy." He said, "I want my granddaddy to be saved." And you know what? Every week we'd come, he'd have that same request. And we began to pray for that man week after week after week after week. Things changed and I moved on and I came up here to this church years later. I'm not talking about 10 minutes. That's our problem. We want stuff in 10 minutes. Years later, I'm talking about 15 years later. You know what? I got word. He said, "My granddaddy got saved." You see, God don't always fix it overnight. But if you'll just hold on. God's working in the background. Why? Because he's got a watch that's ever looking. Not only that, you'll see that he's got a way that's ever leading, a watch that's ever looking. I want to say he's got a will that's ever longing. And I won't stay here long because I want to get to my last point. But I want to say this, God has a will for every person in here. It's not so much in finding the will of God as it is keeping the will of God or doing the will of God. You see, God's will for everybody in the building today is to be saved. If you're not saved, you can be. God died for all. It don't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter your skin color. It don't matter if you got nice clothes. God died for everybody. I'm glad he died for me. But he not only died for me. I got news for you. He died for everybody. It's God's will that we all be saved. The Bible said this, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth." Not only is it to be saved, I want to say this, it's God's will that we serve. After you get saved, you ought to serve. You ought to serve in your local New Testament church. That God said, that's how he operates, is in the church. Now I won't stay there long, but it's God's will that you'd serve him. Not only that, it's God's will that you be separate. You start, come out from among them and be ye separate. If you've been saved for any time, you know what you ought to do. You ought to come out from among them and be ye separate. God puts a difference in between his children and the world's children. I'm not saying be isolated from the world, but be insulated. God will use you on your job. God will reach those persons that work next to you if you'll just lift his name and tell them what happened to you. Say, "I got saved, and God's been good to me." And those little nuggets that you'll be passing off into their ears, you know what it is? It's room for the Holy Ghost to come down and start dealing with their soul. And you'll find those that you around you, they'll, as you begin to separate yourself. Not only that, he wants you to be sanctified. You say, "What does that mean?" That means it's a purification process. What's the difference in being separate and being sanctified? You see, being separate is you coming out of the world, but that sanctified is Him taking the world out of you. You see, in that purification process, as those refiners finer, fire will come in. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to burn all those impurities out of you. And some of you are a lot further along than I am. And it's because God is taking you and He's using your life and He's burning those impurities out of you. Will of God is for you to be saved. It's for you to be separate, to serve, be sanctified, but it's also to be Spirit-filled. The Bible said in Ephesians 5 and 18, it said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And a lot of times we stop right there. Well, how am I going to be Spirit-filled? Well, if you go down to verse number 19, listen what it said. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God's will for your life is to be Spirit-filled, to follow after Him. Then lastly this morning, you see, the ewe that He rescued, He said, because the shepherd's way is ever leading, the shepherd's watch is ever looking, the shepherd's will is ever longing. But I want to say lastly, because the shepherd's welcome is everlasting. Go back to our text. If you'll look back in verse number 5, look what it said in Luke 15 and 5. This will be the last place we'll turn this morning. It said this, "And when He had found it," what did He do? The Bible said He laid it on His shoulders. Laid it on His shoulders, rejoicing. I'm glad to, when I've gotten way out there, and God should have killed me, and God should have done all these things to me, and I surely deserved it. But I tell you what He did. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. It said where Romans 5:20 said this, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, much more did grace abound." You say, how much have I sinned? Well, I can't even tell you. I couldn't count it, the stars in the sky, the sand in the sea, for the sins that I've committed against my God and my shepherd. But I'm going to tell you what, He's always welcomed me back. There's always, let me say this, God always says come. But let me tell you how you know if it's different than God or the devil. God always says, or Jesus always says come. You know what the devil says? He always is railing those accusations. Let me say this. The devil is the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse number 10, that he's the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing the brethren before God day and night. And some of you, you say, I won't come back to the shepherd because of, and the devil saying, what will they think? What will happen if I come back? I want to say this. The Bible said here that He'd lay you on your shoulders. I noticed this, He'll close the distance. If I've ever been way out there, or don't even have to be way out there, guess what? I know that He'll close the distance as long as my heart turns back to Him. And let me say this, He wasn't coming with a switch. He wasn't coming with a paddle. But He was coming with grace and mercy. I'm glad we have a shepherd that when we've done wrong, and He should have done all those things to us, but there was a great shepherd in heaven that He poured in oil and He poured in wine in my wounds, and He gave me restoration. There may be somebody in the building this morning that needs restoration. I'm glad that God can restore you. Not only that, He can heal you. They talked about that shepherd in the book of in Psalm 23. We know that old valley psalm that David was involved with. And he said, he anointed my head with oil. They said, why would he say that? He anointed my head with oil. You know what that was a symbol of? It was a symbol of restoration. It was a symbol of healing. They said that those sheep, that they could get, after they got wounded or have things happen to them, that the flies would be on them so bad that they would beat their head on a rock till they literally beat themselves to death because of the flies. If y'all remember Brother Eddie White talking about the little fly, you say, well, what harm is that? The devil has flies everywhere. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is those flies will turn over in your head over and over again. until you do something that's not right. And let me say this. It said in that Psalm 23 that he anointed my head with oil. You know what it do? That was to deter the flies. It was a symbol of restoration. It was a symbol of healing. I'm glad we have a God that welcomes us. I thought about that song that we didn't sing it this Sunday. I think we sang it a couple of Sundays ago. It was called The Field of Grace. Yeah. Miss Kyla Rowland wrote that song. I've got her little book, and I like to read why people write the songs, to be honest, because you know, I want to know more than the 7-Eleven. Have 7 words and repeat it 11 times. I'm glad for those old-timey writers that God gave them something to write. I'm glad for the Redback Hymnal. And I want to say this about Miss Kyla. I've got that book that she published about the behind her songs in that Field of Grace. And I began to read why she wrote that song. And some of y'all know Miss E or Miss Aquila, Brother Ron's wife. She used to sing here. And she wrote that song in a time where she was, Miss Aquila was going through one of the roughest times of her life. And I won't go into all the details that she did in the book, but God began to move on Miss Aquila, and she had lost her voice at the time. And let me say this, when you're singing and that's your job, you better go sing, right? And God, for some reason, her voice was gone, and it was a time of darkness in her life. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I ever going to sing? And then Miss Kyla went over to her house one day. And it began to, Miss Kyla knew that there was a different thing about Miss Aquila. There was a different smile on her face. There was something that was different. And Miss Aquila began to sing. And Miss Kyla asked her, said, what happened to you? And this is all Miss Aquila said. She said, he came. And Miss Kyle was like, who came? Who? Somebody you know? They came over here and helped you? Did you see a doctor? And Miss Aquila just said, he came. And Miss Kyla, she began to take those words in that time in somebody's life. And let me say this, the greatest songs, the greatest things in people's life was born out of a time of darkness. And they're here to touch your life this morning because of that. You'll see the shepherd is welcome, is everlasting. He doesn't turn any away. As somebody in here this morning may say, I've done too much, I've gone too far. But let me say this, you haven't met my shepherd this morning. He's here with open arms. I got 2 questions and I'll be done this morning. You see, this message is for somebody that may not have, somebody that may have separated themselves from the sheep and they've gone way out there. Let me say this, God said, come back. There's an application that probably every one of you have, or probably most of y'all have on your phone. You know what it's called? Life 360. How many of y'all got that on y'all's phone? We all got it. I want to know where my kid is. I want to know where my wife is. I want to know where the people I love the most are. This is a funny story. My son was in college, and I was expecting him back home. And I looked down on Life 360. I said, where is he at? And there's one thing on that Life 360 that every parent probably looks at. How fast is he going? I never had seen this. Most time it showed when somebody was on the road, it just showed them in a normal car. But his was in, it looked like a race car with smoke coming out the back. They done changed his icon so much. Ain't no state troopers in here, are they? It done changed his icon into a race car. He's on his way home. I said all that to say this. On God's, see, that Life 360 in God's world's been going on all this time. He knows where all his children are. He knows what you're doing. He knows all about it. I wonder today if God, if you open up God's Life 360 in your life. I'm not talking about somebody next to you. I'm not talking about your children. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if God opened it up on you, how far would you be from him? How far away? Would it be 1 mile? Would it be 2 miles? You see, I've noticed this about trying to get close to God. The more closer you try to get to God, the more impurities he shows in my own life. I've always said this. I looked around at cars a lot of time, and I said this, if you can give me a car and let me wash it, get up there real close to it and start washing it and waxing it, I can tell you everything that's wrong with that car. from a long ways off. I can't tell you much about it. But the closer you get to God, guess what He's going to do? He's going to show those impurities inside of you. He's going to show those things that are wrong with you. And I praise God for it, because I'm going to tell you, I'm just an old country boy, don't know much, and I'd be way out yonder if it hadn't been for a God or a shepherd this morning. Where are you on God's Life 360? I'll leave you with that. Then secondly, somebody may be in the building, and you've heard about this shepherd all your life, but you never gave in to the shepherd. Would you step out this morning and be saved? Would you meet that shepherd? Let me tell you what, where sin did abound, much more did grace abound. If you just step out this morning, I'll turn it over to my pastor.